I mean, I guess it depends on how they interpret professional knob twiddler.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we've all grown a lot together in the last half hour or so. So, let's say we get this party started.
Let's do it.
Chip boy.
Wow, already.
Let's talk about butter for 3 hours.
I'm immediately regretting this already. So.
I genuinely would just do a 3-hour Stardew Valley podcast on those. Yeah. I'm probably going to stream it after we
What
we
did
record.
You name your dog? I named my dog Thistle. No, seriously, though, I'm asking, did you get a dog or a cat? What did you
I got the cat.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, you're one of those people, huh?
Yeah, I can't remember what I called it, which is really embarrassing.
Oh, no.
What a casual.
I would have named him Humpernickel.
Nice.
Not Pumpernickel, Humpernickel.
No.
Just to be clear.
Just to be crystal clear.
Yeah, like Zima clear. No one talks about Zima anymore.
What is that?
It's like a wine cooler. Like that's a lot of teenagers' first rites of passage into alcohol is Zima, or at least it used to be.
Not Four Loko. I was gonna say Four Loko, but
oh, mine was Tecate beer and tequila with my dad.
Nice.
Yeah, because we ran out of the Tecate beer. And he's like, go check the cupboard for whatever else we might have.
Just a quick update on the cat name. Bubba was my cat's name.
Bubba?
I think I randomed Bubba. Sorry.
Nice. Quality cat name.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever, when you were teenagers, just like go in your parents' liquor cabinet and take one sip out of everything because you're like,
yes.
Oh, then they won't.
Yes.
That's actually such a good call.
I've never done the, like, because I was too paranoid to do the watering it down thing, because I was like, oh, they'll fucking notice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did the, like, one sip out of, like, 10 different bottles.
Could you imagine doing that now in the hangover that you would have?
Yeah, I have to stick with bourbon or I'll get nasty hangovers. And sometimes with the bourbon, I'll get a nasty hangover, but I can manage it a lot better if I just drink that.
Yeah.
And I can drink a, like... You don't understand, my alcohol tolerance is insane. I can drink a metric ton of bourbon and be okay, but if I go like one bit past that, oh, it is hangover city, my friend.
I've just
a good
been
time for me to say I don't really get hangovers.
Really?
Yeah, for some reason. I mean, I don't drink like excessively, I guess, but I've never experienced a hangover.
That's why you don't get hangovers.
Well, that's how I know you're an actual robot, though, is that you don't get hangovers.
Right. It's because it's very efficiently processed through several servos and yeah, my totally human biology is just
WD-40 is your favorite drink of choice, right?
Right. No, I tell you why. I think part of it is as well as I used to get a lot of migraines that were separate, and I think it means that a lot of like headaches and stuff don't really register in comparison, if that makes sense. So
totally.
I think I probably did, but just don't hit me as hard. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, just my humble brag about migraines.
Oh.
about hangovers.
About stuff. All right. You guys ready to do this?
I'm ready to
do
this.
That's right, folks. It's time for the Nerdy Point of View podcast, where we explore the nerdier side of life via random topics that we come up with and discuss for your entertainment. I am one of your hosts, the literal worst, Brian Penaloza. Usually the next part of this is the pun master herself, Carrie Lyons, who unfortunately could not join us today due to a standing family obligation. But we do have the villain of the show, Martin Franklin.
It's like a standard Canadian practice. I'd like to apologize for her not being here on her behalf. I'm sure she would if she could. Hello.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I was expecting something just with more bravado or something from Martin today, but I guess he must be sleepy.
No. Like I said, I'm just too happy. We had Eurovision. I'm too perky and just there's like good vibes going on. It's, you know, basically I've not abducted anyone. In the last like week, it's crazy. You know, it's great.
I'm just gonna be honest, you lost me at perky. I got lost in my head for a minute there.
Awkward.
But we also have a special guest. With us today, with no catchphrase, is Nina Larson.
I don't have a catchphrase? Man, I need to work on that. Hi, everybody!
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Nina, for the listeners
here. I am Nina. I play Adelaide the Half-Elf Warlock on Hit Dice Podcast. It's really fun. I really like it. I love Dungeons and Dragons. I love books. I love nerdy things. I love these guys. And I'm so excited to be here.
We're definitely excited to have you. I'd sound more excited, but it is early over here, and this is like my one day off. So this is my life. I chose this life. Speaking of choosing things, don't forget to choose Dice Bard, because we are sponsored by Dice Bard. Choose Spice Bard. Spice Bard? I changed up the script a little bit and just fucked myself so hard and not in the sexy way.
They have cumin. But, they have paprika. Yeah. They have...
And of course, my personal favorite, the garlic powder. No, but seriously, we are sponsored by Dice Bard. Dice Bard is great. They put up with our shenanigans. They don't care how badly I fuck up. They still want to be friends with me, and that makes me happy. But if you are in need of dice, go to dicebar.com. Check out their outstanding selection of dice. They still have their glow-in-the-dark dice for $10. That is so cheap for glow-in-the-dark dice.
That's awesome.
I know, right? They also have my favorite set of dice, the rainbow dice, $20. I would pay $20 for that. Actually, I have. But if you like metal, they also have you covered there as well for $25 for metal dice, real metal dice that roll like heavy metal dice. They're great. Plus many other styles and colors. Dice Bard has everything you need to play Dungeons and Dragons. If all you need is dice, and also like mugs and hats now, I think they have. They're going nuts over there. And of course,
it's crazy. They're kind of wild.
Yeah, they should be, they should change the name to, like, the Crazy Dice Bard or something like that, because them mofos is going nuts. Don't forget to use the discount code NERDY. That is NERDY, NERDY, for free expedited shipping on your order. It helps you guys out with free shipping. It helps us out by showing you love us. And we love to feel loved, because we're only human after all. Well, yes. Most of us.
Yes, we are all totally human.
Talking about human things.
What's crazy about that is right when you said that, Martin, your microphone did a weird robot-y thing. So now
microphone.
Now I'm like legit concerned.
I just plugged directly in. Is that a standard human feature? Weird.
Oh,
GP about that.
Oh my god. All right, so with that, we're gonna jump into some topics, and as always on the Nerdy Point of View podcast, when we have a guest and they bring a topic, we would like them to go first. So, Nina.
We made them wait till last.
Yay, I get to go first. Okay. Yes. I want to talk about my favorite subject, which is books. I was a huge reader as a kid. We didn't have TV growing up or anything like that, so we got to go to the library and get 7 books, one for each day. I ended up reading all of my books in like the first 4 days and then would read them again. So I really like books, and I just started a book club at my favorite bar where we all just drink beer and talk about books we like. And we discovered pretty early on that none of us read at the same pace or the same book. We just read the same kinds of books, which was mostly fantasy. So I really wanted to talk to you guys about what kind of books you're excited about, what kind of books and storytelling, graphic novels influence your current storytelling, and what really stuck with you.
All right, Martin, why don't you go ahead and take this one?
Yeah, okay. Books, like, one of my favorite things as well. I used to read a lot when I was younger, and then unfortunately fell off, but I've just been picking it back up. I really like your book club idea, by the way. Like, the not all reading the same thing at the same time. That's actually, I really like that.
Low-key book club.
Yeah, it's quite nice because you get to enjoy the subject but not like be hounded by like deadlines and like feel if you fall behind because you're enjoying something more.
Yeah.
It's like less pressure, right?
Totally.
The fantasy things, like, without a doubt, like, so I grew up reading like a lot of Philip Pullman stuff, so like Northern Lights, Amber Spyglass, and The Subtle Knife. It's one of my favorite trilogies. Author called Garth Nix wrote a lot of books that I read. when I was younger. Nowadays, I actually read more non-fiction-y stuff, especially in the last couple of months.
Traitor.
I know, I'm really, really sorry. But I'm sort of, because I've just been getting back into books, I think I'm doing this thing now where I'm actually kind of alternating between, because it gets really heavy reading. So I'm preparing myself for starting like a counseling course. I'm reading a lot of psychology and stuff. It's really heavy. Like, so now and then you just need to just escape.
Yeah.
And especially because I've just restarted playing D&D after having several months where I've not really played. But it is interesting because I think reading definitely informs like your ability to write stuff. Like, we had a conversation on the podcast, actually. I've been doing a lot of reading about introversion and stuff like that recently. And even though I self-identify as an introvert, I would probably have written introverted characters in a negative light, not even meaning to. But through a lot of reading I've been doing recently, I think my own use of that sort of character is going to be a lot better, you know, like, there's a lot of positives that come from that. So I think it's really interesting how we can take stuff that we read from other places, even if it's not a fantasy, even if it's not a story-based thing, and use it to inform, you know, our role-playing and creativity that way.
Totally. Jumping into somebody else's story, yeah.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, I don't know, like, are there any standout books for you, like, when you were growing up that you read, or...?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially growing up, I hesitate to say it because there's a lot of controversy behind it, but Ender's Game was a big one for me.
Okay.
I think it was the first one that I was really like, wow, stories can be like this? This is so cool. But, you know, Orson Scott Card is an asshole. So right. It's like one of those things where you're thinking, you know, how do I support this thing that was a huge part of my childhood and was really important to me without actually supporting this freaking awful bigoted man, you know?
Yeah, that's really, really difficult. I have a very similar thing because I started reading. Oh my god, his name has completely eluded me. The whole Cthulhu mythos, the author.
H.G. Wells. No, Lovecraft.
Oh, H.G. Wells. Yeah.
Lovecraft. Yeah, it was Lovecraft. And I've done a lot of reading of H.P. Lovecraft over the last few months, and it's a very similar thing with that. I didn't realize when I started reading Lovecraft about the person. And it is difficult sometimes to, I mean, especially growing up reading something that say, how do you separate them? But I think they do stand. I think also it's more about what you take from the story, isn't it? Like, if you use it to continue to be a good person, then actually that's okay, I think. So.
Yeah, and buy used copies.
Right. That's the other thing. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I have a difficult time when it comes to at least old media because times change very frequently. And where we are now is not where we were 20, 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So holding a person from 40 years ago to today's standards, I feel is like a little bit disingenuous. Like, not saying I would support their behavior today, but also I wonder if they were around today, if maybe their views would have changed with the times as well.
Well, Orson Scott Card is around today. And it's
well, I'm not talking about him. I was actually, sorry. Oh, yeah. Speaking mostly about like Lovecraft, like people that far back.
I think a lot of it as well comes from, like, when you consider someone like Lovecraft, the mythos is actually not necessarily his anyway. It's more by the people that followed by reading his work and have created stuff since. I think that's, like, where you can do the best service. If you find someone who maybe wasn't necessarily the greatest in that sense, there are a lot of modern people who use them as an influence to create more appropriate works, if that makes sense as well. So,
yeah.
Fiction and stuff like that is like it's never going to end, you know, like it's a continuous thing that's always evolving and always creating. I can't remember the last time. My point is a little bit difficult to make because I can't think of an example of it, but it's always nice when you do suddenly get a book that you're like, okay, this is actually different. You know, like I feel like I'm reading Robin Hobb, actually thinking about it, it's probably my example. Where I actually read something that was kind of very political and almost intrigue-based, but yet felt exciting and didn't bore me. And that then made me want to write political intrigue into my games, knowing it could be done, whereas before I avoided it because I wasn't sure. Yeah.
For me, I was like you. I was really out of the habit of reading, and I definitely think it's a habit. It's hard to get back into. It's much easier to turn on the TV or play a video game or turn some, like, reading, for some reason, it's just, you have to get in the habit of it. And for a while there, I was reading, you know, a lot of the classics and was just slogging through them. Like, right. Oh, I'm supposed to be reading this.
Yes.
And then I discovered The Name of the Wind. Have you guys read it?
I've heard the title, but I've not read it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I just picked that book up and ran right through it and was like so happy at the end of it because it was finally a book that I wanted to read. This is what I wanted to write. This is just like, it just sparked everything back and I haven't stopped reading ever since. It's so fantastically written.
Is that the Patrick Rothfuss?
Patrick Rothfuss, yeah, he's awesome. It's awesome. I'd highly recommend it.
Sweet.
But it also ties back to the whole, like, holding to standards of years ago, because in his second book, there's a moment where this girl is, you know, brutally abused, and he's like, oh, you know, it's not all men. And then now, like, this book was written 10 years ago, and now it's like, oh, you can't really say that. Like, yeah. Times have kind of moved past saying not all men.
So, right, yeah.
So now, you know, he's writing the third book, and I think he's struggling a little bit, too, it seems like, from following his Twitter. It's just that balance of, like, what time is now, what's appropriate now, and, you know, and what happens when you have a book series spanning 20 years you've been writing it.
Precisely, because also, like, characters are a difficult thing. I always find it interesting, like, a good person can write a bad character, mm-hmm. and a character can say things that are not appropriate in any time. Mm-hmm. And is the person writing that character bad for creating the character that says it? I suppose it depends on the circumstances in the book and whether it's celebrated within the book or not. Whereas if a writer creates a character like that and the character gets their comeuppance, then it's a bit easier to take, I think, rather than like someone writing it in the book and then they just get away with it. And it's like, okay, so are they saying it's okay to do that? Or
yeah, I think he is... been in interviews saying that Quoth was meant to be kind of an asshole.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think when you're writing fiction, you have to have that creative license to be able to bring horrible characters to light. And sometimes in fiction, that horrible character won't always get their comeuppance. And I think that it really just all depends on the intent of whoever created the character. You know, are they letting their personal views reflect? Or are they merely writing a character that you're supposed to hate? I think when it comes to fiction, it's very difficult. And I think that applying those societal pressures and stuff to fiction will only water down fiction. And so the idea of, you know, just basically putting every character under a microscope kind of terrifies me when it comes to, you know, fictional works. Because, again, you know, some characters you're meant to love, some characters you're meant to hate, some characters are meant to gross you out. And you know, depending on how gratuitous it is, I guess, and the way it's used, you know, if it's used well, I think it's fine. If it's not used well and it seems like it's there just for shock or a reaction, that's a whole different thing. And maybe that reflects more on the writer than it does on the character. So I don't know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I'm very against censorship when it comes to media. Like, the way I look at it, if I don't like your message in your book or your movie or whatever, I'm just not going to enjoy it. And I'm going to say, well, okay, I'm done with that forever. But I worry about really just censoring artists and then not getting any decent art anymore because everything is so just the same because it's all homogenized.
Yeah,
I think that's where...
I said conflict makes the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And also, I think it does depend on the fact of there's a difference between censorship and just calling someone out. Like, it's perfectly fine for people to write books. They just have to accept that people might not buy those books.
Well, like, I got to disagree there. Because these days with social media and everything, calling someone out can be the end of that thing. And it's not censorship by the government, but it's censorship nonetheless.
I think that, I mean, obviously certain movements can definitely get more traction than maybe they should, but it is still it's always a personal thing to say, before I buy this thing, what outside sources do I want to let affect me? Like, if I'm just going to go into a bookstore and look at the fantasy books, I might end up picking that book up regardless because I don't go on Twitter to look for my book reviews, you know? So it like, I don't really think it matters. I think the difference between like now and before is someone could write something and you had no idea of the person who was writing it. Whereas now you absolutely can, like, people follow writers on social media, and some people do make ideas about books before they even read them. A bad person could write an amazing book and that wouldn't get sold, and I suppose that is unfortunate in terms of people missing out on a good story. But there are so many stories out there that are you really missing out? It's a difficult one. I don't really know what my point was on that, but
There is a lot of pressure on authors now. I mean, your branding nowadays, it isn't like, oh, here's my cool thing. It's like, oh, here is me. I'm a cool thing, and I'm making this cool thing.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's, yeah.
It, I don't know. It's a tough subject, and it's tough to know what the answer is, and I'm not sure there really is an answer. I just, again, when it comes to art and things that can be interpreted, I just tend to lean more heavily towards let the art speak for itself. If you don't like it, that's fine. More when it becomes like a movement against something because you didn't like a sentence in a book, and you're actively trying to destroy that book, that I'm like, well, let's really examine what happened in that book and if it's worth trying to destroy that piece of art.
Good pieces of art do survive, though, because if you look at, and I'm not saying everything he wrote was great, but I mean, how many years have we been pulling Shakespeare apart, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's like, good art survives that test, whereas poorly made art doesn't, you know? And I write a lot, and I'd be the first person to say I don't share my writing because it is so easy to pull that sort of stuff apart. Like, so I'm definitely aware of that, but I also feel like if I was to put something out there, it would be to actually see if it could withstand that test, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, is what I've written capable of having all of these people look at it and come out the other side in one piece? And also, a lot of people will do that. Like, I think it is nowadays quite easy to spot the trolls. I think it is easy to spot the people who are doing it just because they have a vendetta that they want to fulfill. Mm-hmm. I think it is unfortunate. Some books probably do get caught on the other side of that. But can we censor the people who are, you know, if we're not censoring the books, can we censor the people who are trying to call that? Like, where does that end? I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it? It's like, where do you ever stop?
Well, that's the point. It is difficult. And it's less, I guess, less more shutting down books that are made, but more putting, like, the chill and the fear into books that are yet to be made.
Yeah.
And stifling that is more, I guess, my concern, where, you know, this person has this idea for a story, but they're worried that it's going to offend somebody, or there, you know, is a character that people are going to, you know, take up arms against or something like that, so they just don't make the work. And it could have been an amazing book, but we'll never know. Because that does happen. In the video game industry it happens where certain stories don't get told, and certain games have been canceled because they were concerned that the story it was maybe too mature for people, and not in like a like sex or like anything that kind of way. It was a war story about a current conflict, and it got canceled because they were worried about backlash before they even made the game and anybody could actually judge the story.
Which is ironic when some of the best-selling games are war games and they're about the shallow side of it, like not about any of the human loss or the, you know, the choices people have to make, right?
Yeah.
It's fine to do the run and gun thing, but don't you dare think about what those people are having to think about. That's when it's too much.
Yeah. But I know we tangented really hard here.
I was going to say, what book do you like?
No, this happens from time to time on the show. We do this. We like, we'll be talking about one thing, but we'll like spark an idea that we want to talk about. And like, it's super common for us.
No, what's crazy is I have about three other tangents that I nearly went off on as well.
I know, me too. I'm like, okay, right. Wait, let's talk about this.
No, but like, as far as my favorite book, honestly, the books that influenced my storytelling the most were the Aliens novels back in the day, like way back in the day, because I was reading those when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Only by the grace of the fact that like my mom saw the cover, saw an alien, and was like, I'm sure it's fine. But like in the book, it described the most gory deaths and like the most gratuitous sex. Like, I'll put this in perspective. I had a Spawn comic book and I had this Alien book, and I had them both with me. And my mom saw a picture of a demon with like boobs and was like, oh no, you can't read this. Meanwhile, in the book I'm reading, it was way worse. But the first three Alien books, what was it? Earth Hive, Nightmare Asylum, and like Female War, I think, were the three. The way they told those stories, and like the way they did like the story arcs and stuff like that, really informed how I tell like a horror story, which is most of what I do, ends up horror inspired. And honestly, like the deaths I do in the Dread game that I do, probably deeply influenced by those books and how well they describe what was happening to somebody as they were being ripped apart.
Jeez.
Yeah. I had a weird childhood.
Didn't we all, though?
That's very true, especially when it comes to reading fiction. It's very hard to avoid. Can I just ask you both then, like, if you both had to recommend one book to readers or to listeners, is there one that you would say, like, is there one you could say right now, this is something I think people should read?
Name of the Wind.
Alien Earthhive. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't read that. I'll add it to my list.
Yeah, it's same. Really I'm good. The same. And I'm going to say, it's been a while since I've read it. I remember This Book is Full of Spiders by David Wong was pretty good. So I'll throw that one out there. That's kind of like a weird one.
Did you guys ever read Michael Crichton? Sorry.
Yeah, oh, Michael Crichton, yes.
Yeah, that was a big one for me too when I was a kid. Everyone was reading Harry Potter and I was like, yeah, but have you read any Michael Crichton?
Oh my God, the Jurassic Park and the Lost World, by, like the ones by Michael Crichton, oh my God, they're so good.
I might have to look into them.
Andromeda Strain was my favorite. It's about aliens. And
yes.
Just your book made me think of that because I was really into that. And that was another one that oh my God, stories can be like this. This is so cool.
Right. Yes, that one. Oh God, what was the one? It was like all those like nanobots, like parasites.
Oh, Prey?
Yeah, God damn, that one was good too. Yeah, I have like 3 copies of that.
I have multiple copies of all my favorite books because I loan them out and they never come back.
That's when you end up having your own personal like private lending library. I think I had The Rat by James Herbert like 4 times because I was like, oh no, you need to read this book. You need to read this book. Which is another book, by the way, that's similar to your Aliens experience, where it's like, I probably shouldn't be reading this at the age I'm reading this.
I'm sorry, what was the book again?
Just called The Rats.
The Rats?
The Rat.
Oh. Yeah, but it's quite a short one. I mean, that is, it's like 80, it was like early 80s or something, or like late 70s, I think it came out. It's quite old now. I don't know how well it stands up. It's been a long time since I've read it. But yeah.
Right on. Well, we should probably move on to the next topic.
Right.
And
I could talk about books for like 24 hours.
I mean, we could just this the book cast and say, fuck
what about
it.
A book on Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
Can we write that?
I'm tempted just to make this the book cast and just, you know what? We'll just take this for the full hour. Fuck it.
Book point of view.
But, but I do actually have a topic, and I was watching Eureka last night, and it was a wedding episode. And for some reason, I was getting really bad anxiety. And I think it was because I started to think about the like 10 weddings I've been to, of which only 2 were fun. The other 8 were nightmares. And it just got me thinking, I just kind of want to talk about weddings and kind of what you think about them. You know, if you've been to them, if you've been in them, if you have had one yourself, you know, just in general. So let's let Nina start this one off since Martin started off the last one. And there was a very extreme reaction from that side of the room.
Here we go. All right. So I was a wedding florist for about 10 years. Weddings are horrible, miserable places for me. I had to quit the industry entirely. I now work at a small business popcorn shop because I just could not handle mothers of the groom anymore or bridezillas, anything. It's like the amount of times I heard, this rose isn't blush, it's pink. Like, you would not believe. Like, you are spending so much money on a party, you are freaking the fuck out. Can you just please take a breath or a Xanax or have some champagne or something and just like stop worrying about what shade of pink this is? There's a lot of feelings over here.
I feel like this could be quite healthy to like vent some of this.
Right? Ugh, I'm still processing it because people still ask me to come. Actually, my old boss in Santa Fe just asked me to fly out for a wedding. And I was like, I still don't know. I mean, it's been like 2 years since I did a wedding and I'm still not ready to go back.
By the way, this was completely unplanned. When I came up with this topic, I had no idea. It just fucking worked out perfectly.
Weddings. Yeah, I have all the insight if you need to know anything.
No, I've had one myself. I'm good. I'm tapped out. I'll never do that again. That was awful. Awful. Yeah.
It's just a lot of pressure. Like, they put so much pressure on, make sure everyone's having fun. Make sure this is good. Make sure this is good. Make sure everything is right. And it's just, like, drives most people to the breaking point, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you get the venue that gets mad because you're drinking in the parking lot. Yeah.
It is one of those things where we have these events that are supposed to be, like, entire, like, that's supposed to just be joyous, but that in itself creates a pressure that stops it from being joyous because you're trying to enforce it, and it's like, don't just chill out. It's okay.
Have fun, goddammit! Oh my god!
Enforced fun. Yeah.
If everyone's not dancing, then we're not getting married.
Well, I think I might have like a unique perspective, like being the only one here. I think that's been married, right? Neither of you. Mm-hmm.
No. I'm on my seventh. No.
Can robots get marriage licenses?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, equality.
Of course they can. Why would you ask me that, a human? Why would I know about robot weddings?
But yeah, no, like, you know, planning a wedding. So here's how this works. You have your idea. The mother of the groom has one idea. And the mother of the bride has one idea, and nobody's ideas agree.
Mm-hmm. And everyone thinks it's their wedding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually, I remember having to tell my mom at one point she needed to back off or she was not going to be allowed at the wedding. Ooh. That was a high point in our relationship. Oof. Yeah, I was at Monster Trucks, actually. I was at Monster Trucks and she was blowing up my phone and I was, you know, with friends trying to watch Monster Trucks crush other vehicles. And I had to step away to tell her that and then came back. And luckily I was watching Monster Trucks, so it was really hard to stay upset.
I was going to say, it's a different right. kind of, you were portraying those Monster Trucks crushing your mother.
God, no, I don't want her to die or anything, but
emotionally.
Oh, emotional. Emotional Monster Trucks. Don't write that book.
Oh my god, yeah.
Ooh. Oh god. Like, but like, past like the wedding planning aspect and stuff like that, just like the weddings themselves, like, have you guys ever been to just like a really bad wedding that like you're sitting there and you know you're at a bad wedding, but you can't escape?
Mm-hmm. I went to a not to hate on like vegan or anything like that, but it's just not really my scene. And the only thing that they had there was like quinoa and they didn't drink, and it was just like big bowls of quinoa. And I was like, this is not very much fun.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
I just pictured like champagne flutes filled with quinoa.
Pretty much. That was pretty much it.
Just grains as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, not to hate on vegans either, but I really don't get quinoa. Like, I can't. I've tried it various different ways, and it just doesn't do it for me.
Mm-mm. I can say, I don't actually mind quinoa, so just... Just to rep for those that do like it. Don't worry, we're not all quinoa haters. But it can be pretty grim. So, yeah.
Yeah, if it's not really made right. Mm.
And it's one of those things as well, isn't it? It's like, I don't know, I'm vegetarian, but if I knew I was having meat is coming, I would probably prepare meat to give option. Cause I'm not,
or
like,
at least just like have some vegetables or fruit or something, you know?
I suppose, yeah, something with some moisture in it.
Well, especially if you don't have alcohol to help you wash down the quinoa, like,
yeah.
I think they just really wanted us to leave quickly, so they were like, this is all we have.
Oh my god, that's such a good idea.
Yeah. Martin's like writing shit down for a future wedding.
All right, we're just food, quinoa, that's it. Quinoa. Literally just quinoa.
Just bowls of it.
How many times can we say quinoa in one episode?
Way too many. It's been too many.
I like the fact that none of us said quinoa, so, you know, that's good.
Quinoa.
This is the nerdy point of quinoa.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hate myself for that one. Martin, what about you, man? Have you, like, been to, like, just a shit wedding?
I've not been to just a shit one, no. I've actually, we briefly touched on this before. The only wedding I've really been to in my like adult life, I was the best man at. So I really hope it wasn't shit for the other people there, because that would have been partly my responsibility. I don't know, really, really interesting like days. They're odd. Like, I always grew up like, oh, I'm gonna get married and all of this, but like when you go through the day, you're just like, from the outside, it's very easy to see the pressure. I think I was like close enough to the people going through it to see it and not be quite as affected by it, you know?
So what you're saying is you flew close to the sun, but not too close.
Right. And it's a little bit like, it's one of those things where you think like, oh man, if I ever do this, I really hope I can avoid these pitfalls, but I'm sure I'll fall into my own pitfalls, you know, because it is a difficult day, I suppose. It's meant to be great, but you're trying to organize so many things. But no, I was really lucky. It was a really nice day, and it was an honor to be the best man. Like, I don't really remember the doing the speech. I know I did a speech. There's evidence of me doing a speech. But like, I think my fight or flight just purged the memory from my brain.
Dude, me too. I was the best man at my brother's wedding, and I did a best man speech, and I could not tell you a single word of it.
Like, it's strange, isn't it?
People said it was good. I'll take their word for it.
Right. It's such a bizarre experience to like know that you did that. People tell you you stood up. But...
I loved that little anecdote you had. Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah, what one again? What was the anecdote I said? Oh, yeah. Please remind me.
I've been to a wedding, probably the worst one I was ever at. Aside from that really, really religious one I went to, where they snuck in like a Catholic mass on us.
Wow.
The Catholics are, listen, I just want to tangent this real quick, but the Catholics are fucking sneaky with that kind of shit. Oh, yeah, it's a Catholic wedding. It's going to be great. But you show up and they're like, haha, joke's on you. It's a secret mass. And you're like, fuck, you know, because I was like raised Jewish and I'm currently nothing. But man, I swear to God, I've been to a lot of Catholic church. I'm like an honorary fucking Catholic at this point.
I'm not quite sure how effective using the word I swear to God after saying and now currently nothing when talking about your religion, but it's fine.
It is a figure of speech, Martin, and you fucking know it. Don't worry, I'll reprogram you later and you'll understand.
Wait, what?
I had a dear friend who didn't speak very, you know, he wasn't very good at English, and he would always go, I swear for God, I swear for God. I still say that all the time.
Oh, that's amazing. But yeah, no, the worst wedding I ever went to, it was for somebody that I barely knew. And naturally, I had to go to this fucking wedding. And so, you know, you go, the ceremony was whatever. It was long. It wasn't even like a religious one, but it was like just too many stories about their lives that no one gave a fuck about. Then they're like, okay, we're going to go do the picture stuff, go into the reception area, and we'll be right there. Now, when I say I'll be right there, I mean maximum 5-10 minutes. That's what I mean by I'll be right there. What they meant by we'll be right there was 3 fucking hours.
Oh, no.
So we're all sitting in the rec center of an apartment complex for 3 hours. And the DJ isn't there. There's no music. It's completely silent.
Oh, dear.
We're all assigned seats at tables with nobody we know. And there are no refreshments or anything. It's just nothing is set up. And so it was like, I can't think of the movie, but essentially, so we're all sitting around at a table and we're all just kind of looking at each other and making small talk, you know, because we're like, oh, we'll be here 15 minutes and then shit's going to get going. Half hour goes, you know, we're starting to wind down with the small talk because we don't have a lot to say. An hour passes and we're like, okay, something seems odd. It seems a little long, but, you know, maybe they had some trouble or whatever. Sure. Hour and a half passes, 2 hours pass. And now we're all looking at each other like, at what point is it acceptable for us to just leave? You know, nobody's caught in any word. Like, there were no updates, like nothing. So we're like, okay, you know, we'll wait it out a little bit. By the 2-hour and 45-minute mark, we were making our plans for what we're doing after this wedding, which was going to be soon for us because we were just like, what the fuck is going on? It was the strangest thing. Then they finally walk in the room at like about 3 hour mark and the music starts. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about like wedding DJs, but like when I got married, I told the DJ, I was like, there's like 4 songs you can't play. And if you play them, I will hate you forever and I'm not paying you. But they're all the songs like the Electric Slide, the Chicken Dance, all the songs that tell you what to do in the song. I have got
what? You don't like a bossy song. I can get that.
No, I've got this like weird like PTSD about songs that tell you how to dance. Like, I just can't fucking take them. And when I see people dancing to them, I can't help but just picture a bunch of sheep being herded to slaughter. Because everybody, like, the fucking guy in the song's like, slide to the left, and they fucking do. I'm like, why are you doing this? You're not beholden to this man in the radio.
Like, don't tell me how to live my life.
Yeah. You can slide any direction you want to, believe.
I mean, you're going to have some trouble if you slide to the right when everyone else is sliding to the left, but you know what? Do you.
Be the change you want to see in the world, yeah.
I mean, it could be that like it just combines my dislike for dancing, which I can't stand dancing. I have no joy in life and no whimsy, but it could be it combines that with like the like anger I have at authority and like how bad I am with authority.
I can get that as well, because it's like if you're bad at freestyle dancing, it's because that's a difficult thing to do. But if you're bad at following like a predetermined task that you're being told the moves to make, and if you're still failing, like that just reminds you, you know, like I've never been a big dancer as well. Like I think I've said on here before, I want to take lessons because I want to get better. But it's like any of those, even like the Macarena, it's like everyone's doing the same thing. And I'm like, I can see what I meant to do, but my body doesn't, my body isn't doing it. What's going on? This damn robot joint. I mean, human joint.
Oh God. But yeah. So naturally, like the second that music kicks up, it's one of those songs that tells you what to do. And everyone like zombies, eyes glazed over from having sat at these tables for 3 hours trying to make small talk with strangers, just like shuffles onto the dance floor and start like just doing this macabre dance. I was just like, I gotta go. I can't do this anymore.
It sounds like that they made that on purpose, like especially the 3 hour wait, just to remind you that hell is real and you should go back to church.
Yeah, every napkin just said, you need Jesus.
He literally put you in purgatory. What the hell?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh my God.
I mean, it is weird. I did start going to church after that. It was,
It worked.
Yeah. No, I didn't go back to church. I'm lying. No,
it's like one of those dances where they're like, okay, left hand out, go to church.
Have some wine, eat the bread.
Oh God, don't even get me started on that.
Yeah.
But like aside from like Bridezilla stories and shit, like Nina, what about like just weddings you've been to? Like have you ever been to like one that you were like, yeah, you know what, this one was all right, or you know, just as like a guest, not as like somebody who had to like deal with everything?
I mean, I really liked my brother's wedding. It was really sweet. I think this is the way to do it. They got eloped on a mountaintop with shots of tequila with their best friend as their officiant. And then, you know, 6 months later had a party. So they were already married. It didn't even matter to them. So we just drank a bunch of margaritas, and it was really for the family more than anything else. And it was really nice. It was very casual. I think the more casual for me, it is more fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like, okay, let's shuffle this group of people here and then shuffle them there and make them do this now and then do this now. It's just like, okay, here's a margarita, everybody. Have a good time.
Very low key, very easy. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of that comes from just how many different types of people you're trying to organize on that day. Like all the different personality types and things like that. So some people just want to find a quiet corner and chat, like have a couple of drinks. And other people want to get up there and dance. So let them.
Some people are like me and want to find a quiet corner and cry.
Right.
That's too exactly. Real.
Play phone games.
Hell yeah. Take some dice with you, you know, set up a little RPG in the corner, it's fine.
Yeah, can we roleplay like we're literally anywhere else?
Can I roleplay having a good time, please?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to roleplay a person that likes weddings.
Oh, God. I mean, that said, I've been to good weddings. Like, I've been to two good weddings, like I said. And both of them happened to be like my best friend's weddings. But those consisted, well, the first one consisted mainly of a 5-day alcoholic binger. And I don't even remember the wedding itself because literally we were drunk the whole time for 5 days straight. It was like one of those things where like I had a hotel, but I ended up staying at their house the whole time. And like you would get about 3 hours of sleep. You'd wake up, and the second you woke up, somebody would walk over and be like, why don't you have a drink in your hand? because it's 8 a.m. and I'm feeling sick and horrible. Oh, we'll fix that. Here.
Hair
they
shove
a drink in your hand. And then, like, you feel pressure to drink, so you just keep drinking. And it was actually a lot of fun. It was great. We also didn't eat for those 5 days. So until the wedding, we ate there. And then they had an open bar at the wedding, and that was great. So that was a wedding that was good. The other one was my other best friends who got married here not too long ago. And it was just, it was nice. It was small. It was not a lot of pressure. They're two very easygoing people. So, you know, while everybody was in the main room, me and the groom's dad were in the back with cigars and bourbon, just smoking and drinking and talking and shit like that. And I had just met his dad like that week. So, but we bonded. We're best friends now. He's a good guy.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, not all weddings are bad, but some weddings are real, real bad.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely the whole spectrum. Like, it's every kind of bad and every kind of good. Just depends.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it also really depends on the couple.
That's true. That is very true.
Somebody's just an interesting thing about it. It's like when you get, because the whole opposites attract thing, like you do get couples that are so different, and it can bring together some really interesting family like dynamic. Mm. Like the people who you would just never see interacting, like, and that means it can either go really well or really badly.
Yeah, that's a big so one too. Like parts. A lot of times at weddings, the families have never met each other.
Yeah. Well, all I know is I will never do opposites attract again. Like, that was my type, I guess, looking back. Never again. Nope. Turns out they do attract and then they repel real hard. It's like trying to force two magnets together, like with all your strength, but eventually you just give up and they go, one goes like shooting across the room. Yeah, it's like that. Sorry, too real again. Just everyone's like cringing, just like, oh god, I know what he's talking about.
So for my question, have you ever been to any podcasts that are just really awkward?
Yeah, I was on this one. It was like, I don't know, there was this robot and then there's this guy that just kept talking about
no, do continue.
I think they were like professional knob twiddlers or something.
No, God, I'm only roasted. Amateur.
Amateur.
Yeah.
Not yet on the pro circuit though.
You can see I'm on myfreecams.com. I think that's I think it's one of them. I don't know. Anyway, Martin, I'm sure you have a topic for us. Get us out of this.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Brian.
No pressure.
So, yeah,
oh, I great. Believe
no.
you.
So I was just thinking, because I've actually just come out of a bit of a tabletop hiatus of not playing any games, and now I'm in far too many. Amazing how that happens. But I kind of wondered, because I've got a couple of characters that I didn't actually, I'm not putting to use in these games, because the games didn't feel right for them. So I want to know if you guys had any characters, any PCs in your head that you kind of already know what they're going to be. They're pretty fleshed out, but you just haven't found the right game for them yet, or you're kind of waiting for that really special game or one shot to use them. I don't know if anything comes to mind for you, Brian.
Actually, I have two. One of them I did debut on Norvas a couple Sundays ago, which that game's no longer happening, so I guess it was really like a one shot for him. But it is the kobold bard named Tad Cooper. And
nice.
Yes, he only sang songs for inspiration to the tune of the theme song for Galavant.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
It's an inside joke with a lot of people who watch our shows. Like, a lot of them happen to be Galavant fans, and all of us are really depressed that show got canceled. So this is like my small way of giving them a little bit more. That said, I don't want to say too much, but he might be making an appearance in Tal'Dorei's first episode.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which really will air today, this time, I swear. I got all the technical hiccups done. We're good. It will be today, I promise. But the other guy is somebody I actually just thought about last night watching Eureka, which, if you have not seen that show, I highly recommend it. It's an older show. It's off the air, but it's really, really good. And there's a character, an Australian guy named Taggart. And he is like full on, like just in the brush kind of Australian. And he does like a lot of like their veterinary stuff and like tracking and hunting and stuff like that, of course. So I put together this like this ranger in my head with this thick Australian accent, but it's also like really, really smart, but also really dumb at the same time. Like just book smart, but street smart, not so much.
Right. Yeah.
And using him as like a guide for the characters at some point.
That's nice. Fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. Cause like, yeah, I usually play more wise characters, but like having a really intelligent person that's trying to lead you through the forest sounds like a blast.
Well, here's the thing. He's not wise. So.
No, that's like, what I'm saying. That's like, that sounds so fun to me that he's. But like I read in a book that this plant is good for you.
Oh, well, like the episode I was watching, he was trying to lead people out of a building. And he's like, basically, you don't corner an Australian and like threaten them with death. So he blindfolded himself to lead them out of the building. And like by the end of it, like the alarm is dropped and stuff. And he's still just wandering through the building with a bunch of people behind him with a blindfold on. I'm like, yes, I want there to be a ranger that is trying to lead people through a fucking forest, but he's blindfolded.
I love it.
So that might be a character that they see in Tal'Dorei as well.
Nice. That sounds like a good time.
That's the one thing that's great about going back to DMing is like a lot of these character ideas that I've had, I can just throw in as NPCs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great outlet for that, isn't it? You're like, oh, I don't think I'll ever get to play this one, so at least it'll give me a moment of channeling them while they talk to them.
Well, not only that, but like sometimes I'm like, I create a character in my head, and I'm like, this guy would be fun for like a game, but mm-hmm. after that, he might be obnoxious to play.
True.
So that's a good way to get that out, too.
Oh, that's really difficult, actually, isn't it? Making a character that is consistently playable.
Yeah. I feel like I've been playing Adelaide now for about 3 months, and in the beginning, I had no idea what I was doing with her. I was like, I just play a dark warlock because that's so not me, and I just want to try it out. And like, I kind of like had to keep introducing my personality back into her because she just wasn't quite relatable, and now I've figured it out and she's really fun, but like in the beginning it was like, oh god, do I need to kill her?
No, you can actually, because I'm obviously a huge fan of the show, I've said it a million trillion times, but you can definitely see like that progression with what you've done with Adelaide from like the first episode to the most current. So I can see exactly what you're talking about, like where you almost felt uncomfortable, and you, like you said, you were very quiet at first. But you're definitely coming into your own with that character more as you've brought more of your own personality into it.
Yeah, and as she connects with the other players, too. I mean, we've been playing together a long time. And when they were still figuring out their characters, figuring out our place, but now we've got it pretty much locked down.
Yeah. But, like, what other, like, do you have any other character, like, concepts in mind? Like,
oh my gosh.
Like backup stuff?
Yes. I never want to be like, oh, I'm ready for my character to die, because, you know, Wes will take that and run with it and definitely kill them. but I have this idea that I'm really excited about. I love playing the party mom. And I want to play this old lady druid who is such a huge gardener. And, you know, she's retired for a while, just gardens and gardens. And then, but then goes back into adventuring. And I like, my idea for her is that she always has this, like, cloud of honeybees around her. I just think it'd be so fun to just have bees around me all the time, and like, you know, swarm of insects and all kinds of stuff. And my friend was telling me about his grandma, who is a gardener, and like she can actually hold bees in her hands and they won't sting her, and she like talks to them all the time. And I was like, oh man, I totally want to play a crazy old lady gardener bee charmer.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Oh my god, I like that.
Then I have an idea for a ranger too. I think it's my destiny to play a druid next.
And why is that?
I'm a huge plant person, and I think, you know, if I was a class in real life, I'd be a druid, and I've been avoiding it. Like, no, I want to play different things, but I know the most about plants. It's like the biggest wealth of knowledge, and I think it'd be really fun to introduce that into gameplay.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point about characters, isn't it? Like, sometimes it's nice to make a character that actually, like, plays off some of your own strengths. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pretend to know a thing because you actually know these things.
Yeah, so. We have a player in our campaign, Caleb. He's actually a professional mandolin player, and he's fantastic, but he refuses to play a bard. It's like, well, every single day of my life. Why would I play a bard in my escape fantasy world? But then it's hilarious because every time gets the opportunity, he sings a song.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's, yeah. Funny enough, that's why I don't play humans in in fantasy games. Like, not even a bit. Like, I genuinely don't play humans because I'm like, I am a human. I want to play every other race under the sun.
Before I am a human. How many times can you say I am a human?
Look, it's just a normal thing people say, okay? Come on.
Yes, it is very normal.
But you don't play humans, though, for real? I love playing humans.
No, I will always, like, pick some... Yeah, just never a human. I don't know why. Mm. Like, I've always had this thing of, like, I am one, I guess. Yeah. So I want to...
Do you like low fantasy?
Yeah, I mean, I like all sorts. Like, and like I say, I'll read a lot of fantasy that doesn't even have, you know, that is only based around humans. I think it's just a personal playing choice. It's like, funnily enough, like, just to kind of go an Inception layer of nerdy down. But when I used to play World of Warcraft, I preferred the Horde when I initially started playing. I don't know if either of you played World of Warcraft, but...
Oh, yeah.
Because the races were because they didn't have the humans. And the Alliance was humans, gnomes, and dwarves, which are just short humans. And they had, like, elves or something that was, like, taller humans. And I don't know, like, and then it was like, I've got trolls and orcs and cow people over here, so I'm going to go there. I quite like that fantastical thing. But I think one day, I kind of really want to play... Have either of you guys watched Gravity Falls?
Oh my gosh, yeah, I love that show.
Do you remember Tad Strange?
Oh my gosh, I haven't watched it in a minute.
The one-off throwaway joke of a guy called Tad Strange, who's the most normal person in Gravity Falls.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to... I do want to make a human... called Tad Strange, who's just really normal, just no quirks, just a normal guy just going along.
That'd be fun. I feel like that'd be one of those ones that would get really... You'd eventually want to, like, do cool things, but you'd be
have to be a one shot, or it would be like his origin story or something. But I completely lost the original point there.
You were saying For the Horde.
Yeah, For the Horde, exactly.
For the Horde.
/Moo. Yeah.
Sorry, I was always a Horde player too, so gotta write that undead.
That's it. Lockta Ogar, right?
Oh, man. What characters do you have, Martin, though? Like, aside from Tad Strange, which is just keeps making me think of Tad Cooper, so this is really gonna fuck me up in my head.
Yeah, that's the problem. My main one is my kobold artificer called Skrier, who I've got, like, fully fleshed out and ready to play, who is just going to, like, be amazed by everything and wants to learn everything. Like, anytime he meets someone who's skilled in some way, he'll want to talk to them and find out, which, again, will probably get really annoying. But it's interesting that we both have kobolds that we want to play.
Well, mine's a kobold specifically for a reason. Because if you're not familiar with Gallivant, Tad Cooper is a like bearded dragon lizard that one of the characters trades for, like, the last bit of food. And the guy tells him it's a dragon. And so he's convinced that this fucking lizard is a dragon. And it's like an ongoing joke throughout all of season two. But his name is Tad Cooper. And there's an entire song about, because it's a musical TV show. It's amazing. But there's a whole song about, like, believing in Tad Cooper. It's called My Dragon Pal and Me. And so I thought, because it's a musical show, it'd be great to have. What's that?
Based on the hit song My Shiny Teeth and Me from, don't worry. I thought, what's the TV show? Do you guys remember Fairly Odd Parents?
Yes.
Finally came to me. Do you remember Shiny Teeth and Me? This is a real tangent. Nope. I'm very, very sorry. Don't worry then. Look it up afterwards. Be reminded of glorious 90s cartoons.
His
hit song.
Yeah, but so that's why he's a kobold. He's a kobold who's convinced he's a dragon, but nobody believes he's a dragon. It's very on the nose.
Oh,
nice. I still have to check that show out. It's difficult to, like, find it over here, it seems.
Do you have Netflix over there?
I do, but I'm sure last time I looked, it wasn't on there. But
it might not be on UK Netflix, but I don't know. That's where I watch it. Have you seen that show, Nina?
No, what was it again?
It's called Gallivant.
Gallivant. No, I haven't.
It's basically like a medieval kind of fantasy-ish show, but it's a musical. And I don't like musicals, but fuck, that show is good.
Okay, it is very well written. I don't really care for musicals, but if you don't like musicals and you like it, I'm sure I will like it.
It's just, it's incredibly clever and well written. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny. Plus, what's his name? Fucking, I always forget his name. The guy who plays Gareth. Oh, Vinnie Jones. Who's like, usually does like really like hardcore like British gangster roles. God, he's got the best stuff in that show.
Cool. Well, I'll check it out.
Yeah, let me know what you think of that. This is also the Gallivant cast. We talk about that show a lot. Usually yeah. Carrie's my backup on that because she's the only other person I know that's seen it besides like some of the people on Twitter. But I'm a man on an island today, so.
Yeah, it's actually not on now Netflix, so I'm going to have to try and find solutions to that.
Solutions.
Yeah. So, anyway. So my Cobalt Artificer is the one that I am looking forward to playing. You get to make like bags of holding and shit as well, so it's a cool class.
That is cool, yeah, I do like that.
But I think the problem for me is I don't know whether you, I suppose you probably have similar things, but when you think of these characters that seem to be the most interesting and then you do finally get a game to play, it's always difficult to make, like, to pull the trigger and put them into that game, because you think, you know, what if they're not fun to play? Or, you know, with this last one, for example, I actually ended up, just to segue ever so slightly into another question, I guess, here. But I've worked with another player to have kind of semi-joined backstories, which I'd never done before. Because I wanted to see whether you guys had done that as well, actually, just while it's on my mind. Have you ever created a character that is, like, joined with someone? Or
yeah. Mm-hmm. On Hit Dice Pod, we had a session zero where we literally just got together and talked about how our characters knew each other and how we came together. And that was one of the most helpful things that we've ever done. And because even still, there's like moments where we're like, oh yeah, you know, when this. And for me and my character, Adelaide, the other character, Jonathan, he plays Arwol, he was a teacher at the school that I went to, the tinkering school. And so we kind of went on this adventure together, and then two other people know each other, and then we all came together because of Bard. And I think just for storytelling, it's really easy to mm-hmm. fall back on that. Like if you're like, okay, what would I do in this situation? I can always say, okay, well, what is Arwol doing? He's my teacher.
Right. Yeah, it gets past that whole initial awkward phase of if a couple people can talk to each other, mm-hmm. then it kind of integrates the party easier. Things like that. Like the people I DM'd for, I'd never done it before. I'd never played in that way before. And so it's always difficult when you have like six or however many players you've got, brand new minds trying to independently think. Mm-hmm. But this is what's interesting about this is, I mean, we're yet to play, so we'll see how it comes out. But like you say, you can play off of the other person easier, I think. Because you're not. Totally.
And it answers the question of why would I be here? Why am I in this party? Why am I on adventure? It'd be answered.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've done it. Not quite as in depth as Nina's done it, but like with one character, where we had just known each other, and we come up with like a, you know, a backstory together about how we knew each other. But I only did it once, and honestly, I think I ended up preferred like just having my own backstory. I don't know why. I don't really have any reason. It's just personal preference. I don't know. I've always been more fluid and thinking on my feet. So right. Having to only be concerned with what my backstory was and not how it would impact like what somebody else was doing makes it easier for me to adjust things on the fly.
Creative control is super nice as well. Like just being able to do what comes to your mind, you know?
Yeah. And since I'm very much a improvisational think on your feet kind of person, I kind of need that creative control. It's very difficult for me otherwise, because then I just get too bogged down in the minutia and just fucking forget right. it.
And then you're just doing the cha-cha slide.
Well, that's a good place to end the show.
Slide out of the podcast.
Nina, yes. It was wonderful having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so exciting.
Yes, yes. We'll have to have you on again or something, because this was great.
Yeah.
When, like, Carrie's here so that you can hang out with everybody.
And we can talk about Tank Girl, because I heard she likes Tank Girl, and love Tank Girl.
Oh, she loves Tank mm-hmm. Girl. Yeah. But thank you to our audience for hanging out with us today at the Nerdy Point of View podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Captain Sugar Bear. That's at CPT Sugar Bear. And check out everything I do on Soul Bear. Sorry, I almost fucked it up. Soul Bear RPG. I almost gave you the old name. That's the name on Twitter. It's twitch.tv/SoulBearRPG, where I will be doing Tal'Dorei starting tonight. at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For real this time, I swear, I promise, on my life, on my mother's life, but more on my life, because I value that one more. Anyway, Martin, where are you on the internet, and what are you working on?
You can find this this human over on Twitter at Gryffolion, GLYFFOLEON. And also this week will be Wednesday, so we're midway through my I've actually got like a Twitch schedule that I'm putting up there, so I'll actually be playing stuff regularly and not just appearing randomly, which has kind of been my way over the last couple of weeks. But yeah, pretty much Twitch and Twitter. That's where I'll be.
Right on. Nina, where are you on the internet, and what are you working on?
You can find me on Twitter at HumanBard, and you can also find me and the podcast at Hit Dice Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can listen to our podcast, Hit Dice, with an exclamation point, wherever podcasts are.
Right on. And don't forget, you can find the show on Twitter as well, at NerdyPOV, and check out all of our new episodes and our legacy episodes at NerdyPointOfView.com. Make sure to also check out our Facebook page and join our growing Facebook community as well. We even have a Discord channel if you're into that sort of thing. Reach out to the podcast on Twitter and we'll make sure you get that link. Of course, if you liked what you heard today, it helps us out immensely if you could leave us 5 stars and a review on iTunes. We are a small show, but we would like to blossom into a bigger show so we can get our content into more people's ears to make their lives a little bit better, too, and happy and laughy and all that shit. So, with that, we have our community shout-out, and much like we did when we had Wes on the show, I'm going to put Nina on the spot. Nina, tell us more about Hit Dice Podcast and why we should listen to it.
You should listen to it, because we get into crazy shenanigans, and I'm trying really hard not to spoil anything, because we haven't released the episode that I want to talk about, and I'm really... spoilers. But it's really exciting. We all love each other very much. We play a lot of fun things. The story's getting real crazy right now, and who knows, we might die. And you should come listen to it, because it's an actual play D&D 5e podcast.
And it is a great show.
And yeah. I'm not good on the spot, you guys.
I thought you did pretty well. That was good.
Yeah. No, you did awesome. I will say, episode 12, at the end, you guys gave us a really nice shout out, and that was very nice.
Yes.
And
you
gave Griff a little, or Martin, a little spot there so he could say mashed potatoes. So
I didn't know Wes was doing that, and as I was listening to it in the car, I had to pull over. I was like, it was coming out of my eyes.
he sent me a message to tell me he was doing it. I was like, oh, yeah. Mm. So really, if you didn't get enough hearing Martin talk about mashed potatoes a couple episodes ago, make sure to listen to episode 12 of Hit Dice Podcast and hear it just a little bit more.
Just that little bit more.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a tease. Just a taste. Yeah. Just a taste of Martin's mashed potatoes.
Just that last spoon of mashed potato. Just what you need. Just when you think you're full. Just one more.
Just one more little bite, but don't forget the gravy. Anyway. If you liked what we were talking about today, make sure to reach out to us, talk to us about, you know, what influences your storytelling, what kind of books that, you know, you either grew up reading that influenced you, or what you're reading right now that did. Let's talk about weddings and why they're either the best or the worst. There really is no in between. And also reach out and talk to us about the characters you have in your head that you've been waiting to play. We love to hear about your characters. We love to hear about you. So make sure to talk to us on the Twitters. With that, do we have anything else, my friends?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for having me. For happy
you're
me.
Very welcome. For happy me. Happy. we had a great time with you. It's great. I find it very interesting that you included human in your Twitter handle. I've only just noticed this.
I am a human.
Good call, fellow human. I like it.
Well, we were very happy to have you.
That's why I keep making fun of you for being a human, because I'm obviously also a human.
Obviously.
Skynet is real.
Wink.